You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
This is I Should Be Writing, Season 20, Episode 10. We are back from JoCo. Let's talk about it. Hi there. Welcome to I Should Be Writing. This is a podcast for wannabe fiction writers. I'm your host, Merle Lafferty, and I stream this podcast live on Tuesdays, Thursdays, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Now we're into Eastern Daylight Time. That's important for y'all in Arizona. Or I don't know what other countries don't do daylight savings time, but you'll figure it out. It's a podcast, so even if you miss the live stream, you'll get it in your feed if you subscribe where podcasts are found. I'm an author who's written 8 books and been podcasting since 2004, and my 20-year anniversary will be coming up in a couple of months, and I have no idea what I'm going to be doing for it, but I'm going to try to plan something good. I'm going to try. I have not been writing lately. Actually, I did write one day, because I'm back from the JoCo cruise, and seeing as how I live in a little insular nerd world, I'm always surprised when, I know regular people don't know what the JoCo cruise is, but then I get surprised when other nerds don't know what the JoCo cruise is. So Jonathan Colton is a amazing musician. He is an old-timey podcaster. He started back around the time I started, almost 20 years ago. And he did what he called his thing a week, where he did a song a week. They were really good songs, like Skullcrusher Mountain. Why can't I think of any other names? Chiron Beta Prime, that's one of my favorites. Sibling Rivalry, which is a weird, weird experimental thing that always just I loved. He cut a bunch of George W. Bush quotes into a song once. And then he moved on to write the theme songs for Portal and Portal 2, the video games. And then he got a job on the NPR game show Ask Me Another, I think, is what it's called. Anyway, but what he started to do, I think, in 2013 was get a bunch of people together and go on a cruise together. And there he performs and he brings other performers in to do cool stuff. And if you know about the cruise and you're a gamer or a musician or an author in the nerd circles, you want to be invited. I got invited a couple of years ago, and it was a really hard decision, but I decided to say no because of COVID. I didn't want to, but we've been trying to be really careful. And getting on a cruise ship did not sound like a careful thing. Although I do think that nobody got COVID that year. They were very strict with their precautions. But this year I was invited. So I've never been on a cruise before. So you might be hearing some of this and go, uh-huh, yeah, Mer, that's how it goes. But I didn't have anybody else telling me, you know, here's your cruise 101. So first I'll talk about the actual Jonathan Colton part of it. When I told my friends I was going on a cruise, on the JoCo cruise, they all said, cool, where are you going? And my response was, I don't know. Going to a place is not the point of being in a JoCo cruise. I want to be on the ship where people are gaming and having concerts and all that stuff. I eventually found out we went to Grand Turk, the Bahamas, and Half Moon Bay on the cruise included Paul and Storm, who are a comedy duo that have been running the Joko cruise since the beginning, I believe. Some people I did not know. I'm going to forget or mess up. Jean Grey, G-R-A-E, was a kind of understated, really funny musician. During the opening concert, she sang a song about stop putting sunglasses on the sun. And then she explains why it's ridiculous to put sunglasses on the sun. On the nerd side, we had That Bronze Girl on Twitch, who I bonded with at the very end of the cruise, which was kind of bad, but she did run a D&D game at the beginning that I got to be part of, which was so much fun. Mark was from Drunk History was there, and he played in the game with me. He turned out to be a gelatinous cube in a suit of armor who was not very smart, but was the only one among us who was rolling well. Ty Frank, who is half of James S.A. Corey, also known as the creator of The Expanse, was there, and he was supposed to be the charismatic one, and he kept rolling terribly. I ended up being Sir Wench of Tavern, which led me into an adventure I did not anticipate, but tried to embrace as best I could. So people like coming to see these things. Because the cruise has gotten so big, it's taken over the whole boat. There was nobody who was non-Joko there. And so that meant that we were able to make all the restrooms genderless with, you know, suggestions to just do your business and make other people feel comfortable. Also, people started putting things all over the walls. Posters, Post-its, and then after the RPG game, that's redundant, I'm very sorry. After D&D, we started getting propaganda posters because at the very end of our campaign, the gelatinous cube name of Glubs ended up being King. And so then we got gelatinous cube art on the ship. It was just weird. It was fun. Good weird. It's good weird. This is the thing that got me was how comfortable I was. I was a little intimidated being around the other performers, but sometimes if you're at a con, the attendees will either be too afraid to talk to the performers or will kind of storm in and crowd them and stuff. I don't think we had many people on our list who would actually cause the kind of attention that probably Neil Gaiman or They Might Be Giants would have. But still, everybody, all the performers there were nice. They completely were fooled by me and did not notice I was an imposter at all. And the attendees were universally nice. It was weird. It's a place where a lot of people are comfortable being themselves, wearing whatever they want. And that was really nice to see a lot of people comfortable, especially with all the crap going on in the world. And I totally forgot I left the music on, so for those of you listening in the feed, I'm sorry. There we go. I feel weird saying about what the people I hung out with, because I feel like it's name dropping. But I guess that's what this kind of thing is for. I didn't get a chance to spend as much time with John Hodgman as I'd hoped, but we did walk with the cartoonist Mari Naomi down the hall together towards celebrity karaoke. And we all decided we were walking down the hall like Spinal Tap. I don't remember how Spinal Tap walked down the hall, but I do have a picture of me and John and Mari and their spouse looking pretty excited and hyped up. And I will treasure that photo forever. Celebrity karaoke came, and almost everybody, hands down, were amazing performers. Tochi Onibuchi, I apologize if I mangled your last name, Tochi, I'm really sorry, but Tochi was there, and he did, awesome rapping. I think he was doing something from a comedy rapper, but still, it was amazing. And Mari and I were just kind of like, well, we want to have fun, but we can't sing. So we both chose some punk rock They did Blister in the Sun by the Violent Femmes, and I did Punk Rock Girl by the Dead Milkmen. And what I lacked in skill or any innate talent, I made up for in enthusiasm, apparently. So there at least was that. I spent a lot of time with John Scalzi and Chrissy, his wife, and Ty Frank and his wife. And that was really nice. Both Chrissy and Janae are amazing. Karaoke isn't about being good, it's about having fun. Right you are. And we did. And I'll post a couple of pictures in the show notes. The Scalzis are among the nicest people I've met. Indeed, yeah. John is amazing. He's always been very kind to me. Chrissy is just a force of nature. Did Ursula chill and enjoy? Yes, Ursula was my plus one because my family could not make it, neither my husband nor my kid. So I didn't want to go alone, so I invited Ursula. And the timing worked out really well because she just finished her cancer treatment. And so this was a nice celebration of that. So she didn't have to do anything, and she got to look at birds and drink mojitos. So, win-win. But I got to meet Oscar Nunez, and y'all know what a huge Office fan I am. And I really tried not to fangirl at him. I tried so hard. I also met Vico Ortiz, who I already wanted to watch Our Flag Means Death, but now I really want to watch it. They are very funny and very talented. Both can act and sing. I'm not going to give any details, but I realized sitting around with John and Ty Frank and Ursula, the conversation turned to places that I had never been before. And I'll just say, like, on a level above, they're all levels of success, monetary success above me. I'm not putting myself down. This is just a math fact. And it was really interesting hearing them talk about various things. And I don't know why I brought that up, because I can't really give you any details, but it was, I guess I've never been around that many best-selling authors at once who just are hanging out. That was interesting. Jasmine was awesome. Jasmine was our D&D GM, and she's That Bronze Girl on Twitch, and she's just very talented and very funny. And now I'm getting that itchy feeling of I'm forgetting something or someone. We saw whales. We went whale watching, and first we saw two whales, and I was just like, wow, two humpback whales, a mama and a baby, that's cool. And then they found three humpback whales, a mama, an escort, and a baby. And the baby seemed to like sort of standing on her head in the water and flapping her tail up and down. It was very silly. The scientists who were giving the tour were just like, we think she's playing, or maybe she's just trying to, you know, learn about all the things her body can do. But it was very funny, and I got lots of good pictures of a whale tail just sticking up out of the sea. As I said before, I was not as interested in the excursions as I thought I'd be. Ursula got our whale watching experience as a thank you for me taking her on the cruise. And then I decided not to do an excursion the second day, which is good. And now I'm going to talk specifically about what I said the topic was about, which is imposter syndrome and emotions. I tell you guys that emotions don't necessarily reflect reality, right? Right? You guys remember that? You've heard me say this, right? Please. If you haven't, then either you're new or you're not listening, and I don't want to hear that you're not listening if you'd say you're listening. Anyway, we stayed up super late after karaoke. Drank more than I'm used to, not like a lot, but more than I'm used to. So I wanted to stay up late, spend time sobering up. And for the first couple of nights, I had trouble going to sleep on the boat. So that meant, you know, slightly hungover and sleep deprived the next day. And I woke up feeling wretched. And I'm not saying like physically. I woke up just feeling like I was dirt. I didn't belong. My writing was crap. everything that you tell yourself when you're feeling bad about your writing. And the night before, I had been on stage and been very enthusiastic, and people were chanting my name at the end. Chanting people's names was like a thing they started really early on, so I was not alone in this. But, you know, it wasn't an automatic thing, so it's like, it was very cool knowing that I suck at singing and still having people be enthusiastic. I mean, it was a love fest for everybody. But because of physical reasons, not taking care of myself, not sleeping, drinking too much, my mood basically said I was crap the next day. And as I identified this, it didn't make me feel better. And I was lucky that it was an excursion day for everybody else. I decided not to do one. So a lot of people were off the ship, and I just stayed on and hung out in front of the pool all day. And thought about this, the imposter syndrome, the feeling like you don't belong, and why my body decided to, you know, screw up half a day on my cruise, just feeling bad about myself. It was really annoying. But hands down, I'll tell you, I'd had a great night. Nothing happened to make me feel like I was garbage or I didn't belong. If anything, was the opposite of that. Having all these people who've been like on TV shows and done music tours and actually get a lot of, you know, best-selling novelists, you know, supporting me like I was one of them. I felt like a cuckoo among very pretty birds, but I knew that all of this crappy feeling was internal entirely. And I eventually started to feel better. And I want to remind you guys that when you feel like garbage or that your career's going nowhere, give yourself a chance to see if there's any reason you could be feeling like that because of anything else. I'm contemplating whether I'd go again on my own dollar, because there are a couple of perks that I don't know if I would want to give up. And some of them just involve standing in line, because we got on the ship first and we left the ship first. Well, we left the ship alone in a group of just the performers and their plus ones and like staff. So when we got on board, we stood in an almost nothing line to go pick up our ship stuff. And then when the passengers started getting online, the line just started just going across the ship to wait in line to get all the stuff. When I got off the ship and looked at how they had set up the customs area, like just the big warehouse, I'm like, oh, wow, there's going to be a lot of people coming off a ship who have to stand in these lines. I don't like that. I'm very picky about lines. If you make me stand in a line for something and it's something I have a choice about, I'm going to need to want it really bad, because I would rather go do something else. I think that's all I wanted to say about the cruise. I'm excited about writing this week because I've got some stuff to send to my agent. Hopefully we'll get like to a level of endpoint, like, okay, this is good enough to send out. And then we just sit there and cross our fingers. And I get to be with you guys who are waiting on submissions to come back, so we can just hang out and fret together. I want to celebrate 20 years of podcasting. I'm just not sure how. So I don't know if I'm going to do some like merch, or merch is cool, only it's a lot of work on my end. And one thing I don't like about Patreon is they will take care of your merchandise for you if you want them to, but it requires you to change your level of the split of the money you get with them. And you pay for the item. So it's like, if you're going to be giving away a sweatshirt, you better make sure that you're getting more than what the item costs. Because otherwise, why do it? And you can't go back. It's a permanent change. So you guys know I'm really bad at making a decision. I've changed theme songs and logos of this podcast many times. Granted, it's been 20 years, but still many times. So yeah, I'm like, I don't know quite what to do there. But it takes everything out of my hands. But on the third hand, I don't have a lot of merch. But on the fourth hand, maybe I would have merch if it was entirely out of my hands. So I'm weighing a bunch of stuff. If you guys have an idea of what you would like to commemorate, 20 years of podcasting, let me know. I'm curious. This Thursday, I'm interviewing Scott Alexander Howard, who is releasing his first book, The Other Valley. So how about this? I'm actually giving you coming attractions. It's like I'm inching towards organization, even as entropy pulls me back. Thank you for listening and watching. I should be writing. You can see the live stream Tuesdays and Thursdays at 3 o'clock. You can get the blog and show notes at merverse.com. And if you support via Patreon or Substack, you can get early and ad-free versions of this episode and extended, because I usually put a lot of the chatty bits at the end into the exclusive parts. So you can listen to it for free, but you need to show up for the live part. So I will see you on Thursday, maybe tomorrow for gaming. But until then, you should be writing. Thank you for listening to I Should Be Writing, the longest running writing podcast in existence. This episode was made possible by the Fabulous, who support the podcast via Patreon or Substack. Join the Fabulous at patreon.com/mightymur or mightymur.substack.com. Theme music provided by John Anilio, art provided by Numbers Ninja, and podcast hosting provided by Libsyn. This episode is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 license. You can find all of my books and podcasts at merverse.com.